Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you to every one of you for checking it out when you can, those of you who've been doing that. And those of you who haven't been checking out my website, I just have one question for you. Why? It's free. It'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. I'm almost positive. In fact, I am positive. I'm sure, but beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you'll find something there that will help you, that maybe one little piece of the puzzle, maybe there's just one little missing link, one little missing piece of the puzzle you're trying to put together to grow your business, to make sure you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, and maybe you'll find it there. I think you might, if you'll check around. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. We'll send you some stuff with a newsletter. And also, our blog, which you can find at the homepage or at jimsblog.biz. And we'll send that to you, too, if you want. John Gay is our guest. He's a new friend. But he is part of an organization that's an old friend of ours, the National Restaurant Association. He's Senior Vice President of Government Affairs and Public Policy. John, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. And, John, there are a number of issues. As I mentioned to my audience earlier, just before you got here, so many of your members, I'm sure the majority of your members are the folks that I think about every day and that I look out for, small business owners. I don't know what the percentage is, but do you?
Oh, yes. It's 70% of the industry is independent, single-unit owner-operators.
Single unit, not even multiple locations, but single, just mom-and-pop, family businesses, independent restaurants, that wonderful little diner down the street, that great little bistro, whatever it might be, all over this country. One of the very important threads of the fabric of this marketplace, aren't they?
That's right. It's absolutely the cornerstone of the economy.
No question about it.
And just because you have two restaurants doesn't mean you're a big businessman.
So we know all about that.
That are small multi-unit operators with two restaurants, three, or even some cases 10. But the great majority of our industry is small business, and that's in fact our strength. When we have our public affairs conference in Washington every September, we have 600 or 700 of our members come to Washington, and the great majority of those folks are the independents or the small multi-unit owner operators, and they make the biggest impact on Capitol Hill.
There's no question about it. No, I was laughing when you were saying just because you got two locations doesn't mean you're big. All that means is you got double the challenges is all that means.
That's but, double the challenges and double the opportunities.
That's exactly right. So we really thank you for the work that you guys do. We like working with the National Restaurant Association. I've had your members of your organization on this show since way back in the beginning of this show, which goes all the way back to 97. And one of the big issues we've covered in the past is minimum wage, and we may get into that a little bit later on, but the big news right now is immigration, isn't it?
That's right, Jim.
Tell us where there's actually some activity weaving its way through Congress right now. Give us an idea of where all that is.
Okay. Well, in December, the House of Representatives passed a bill aimed at the illegal immigration problem, but focusing only on enforcement at the border and what is euphemistically called interior enforcement. If you ever hear that, you know what that means. That means business. And some of the provisions of that bill were just startling to everyone in the business community that a Republican-controlled chamber would do something like that to us.
Explain that to tell me what. Slow down just a little bit and tell us what you mean by all that.
Sure. Well, I'll give you a couple of examples of provisions in the bill. The bill greatly increases penalties for immigration law violations, and not that we're going to stand up for anybody who's knowingly violating the immigration laws, but this bill has fines of up to $25,000 per incident for paperwork violations. That's checking the wrong box. And anyone and all your listeners who had to fill out those I-9 forms when they get a new employee know that's not the easiest thing in the world. And especially small business may, I mean, if they're lucky, don't have to do it every day. Maybe every month, maybe every other month. So it's not something that they get used to.
We don't get good at it, do we?
No, and not that even bigger groups find it all that simple either. So that's one thing. Another thing is, at the moment, employers have to check that each new employee is work authorized. What this bill would do would be require employers to make sure all of their workers, existing and new ones, are work authorized through something called the Basic Pilot Program, or the also known as the Employment Verification System. This is a, as the first name indicates, a pilot that the government has set up. It's a government database where you can, over the internet or through the phone, you can check the Social Security numbers given you through this system and get a check or a yes or a no. The problems with the system are numerous. You get a lot of false positives through the system, which tangles things up and can delay for weeks or months into finding out if your person's eligible to work. And right now, the program's only used by a few thousand.
That false positive is punitive to the person, isn't it?
Well, you have to keep them on the payroll till you figure it out.
Right.
But it certainly means that person's under some sort of, may feel they're under a cloud because the government came back and said, there's something wrong with this person's number. But also, this system is only used by a few thousand companies or a few thousand employers right now. There are millions, as you know, millions of employers out there. So to mandate that all those employers go through this system, the deadlines they provide for that, just we don't think will allow the system to handle it.
Now, this is the law that is – this is not the law that's in the House right now, is it?
This is the bill, the Sensenbrenner-King bill, that passed the House of Representatives in December.
It's already out of the House, okay?
It's already out of the House.
With those provisions that you just mentioned.
Correct. And perhaps the worst part of it is the bill does not address the underlying problem, which is the broken immigration system.
Right. So what you're saying is basically they're treating a symptom and not trying to find a cure.
Exactly. What they need to be doing is realizing that or allowing employers who cannot find U.S. workers, and that's important. U.S. workers deserve first crack of the job. But if we can't find a U.S. worker, we should be able to hire from abroad, and they don't allow for that. Mm-hmm. That's why there's so many undocumented aliens in the country.
It's heading to the Senate, folks, and we're going to see what the National Restaurant Association is going to do about that right after these messages, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. John Gay is our guest, and he is Senior Vice President with the National Restaurant Association. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, but he's a member of an organization that's an old friend, the National Restaurant Association. John is Senior VP there for Government Affairs and Public Policy. We're talking about the immigration bill that's weaving its way through Congress. It's through the House. It's now in the Senate. What's going to happen in the Senate, John?
Well, the Senate Judiciary Committee is scheduled to take up a different piece of legislation on March 2nd, and the full Senate's right now scheduled to take up the bill itself on the floor at the end of March. So it's coming right up on us. The good news is that the Senate is taking a more comprehensive look at it, not just focusing on enforcement and border security, but looking at how we get the workers we need in this economy, and what we big thorny question is what we do with the 11 million undocumented that are already here.
And many of them who are part of the human capital infrastructure.
Well, you're talking
that is the infrastructure of our economy, including the restaurant business.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you're talking 7 million workers here and 11 million total, so that's 11 million consumers. And if the House had, if the House bill alone is what becomes law, the goal is to remove all those folks from the economy and there'd be no way for employers to replace them.
Right.
I mean, I'll give you just some, no one likes too many numbers, but from the restaurant industry's perspective, let me give you the demographic problem we're facing. We're a growing industry. When you hear that about jobs created over the past decade.
Mama's not cooking supper anymore. They're going to the restaurants.
About 10% of the new jobs created in the recent years have been restaurant jobs. So we're growing. In fact, over the next 10 years, we're going to add 15% to the 12.5 million jobs that are in our industry now. The whole workforce is only going to grow 12%, and the 16-year-old to 24-year-old group that makes up half of our workforce is only going to grow 9%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a tight situation in the restaurant industry.
These are the numerical realities, folks. These aren't debatable. This information is not debatable. The only part about that might be debatable is how much the growth is going to be, but the generational human beings who are going to be available for these jobs, that's not debatable, John. Those are facts.
No,
those people are here. We know where they live.
That's right. You can always question economic projections.
Right.
But one thing about demographics is if you're trying to figure out how many 18-year-olds you're going to have 17 years from now, you know how many one-year-olds you got.
That's right.
So it really does. It's really not rocket science after that.
So where's the National Restaurant Association's? What's your position on this law?
Well, we are supportive of a comprehensive approach to immigration reform that provides a mechanism for employers to get the workers they need if they can't find U.S. workers, that allows for many of these undocumented who are working hard in our industries and just
so
trying
you like
to build
the, you like the amnesty idea, right?
Well, let me make a distinction here because I think it's important. In 1986, President Reagan signed an amnesty, and it said if you're undocumented and you were here before a certain date, you're in. Here's your green card. There's a little more complicated than that, but it was basically like that.
Right.
What we're talking about is punishing these folks that are here illegally now. You'd have to pay a fine. You'd have to get in the back of the line before you got your green card. You'd have to get security checks from the Homeland Security Department as well as criminal checks.
Right.
You'd have to pay taxes. You'd have to keep a job. You'd have to earn your legal status, which we think is a significant difference from an amnesty where
would they remain? Would they remain illegal while this was happening? I mean, would they be
No. They'd
be documented, but just not officially legal, or would they have to go back home first?
Well, that last question is a key one. There are some who want to send them home first, and we think that is wrong on many levels.
You're saying let's document them, put them on a track toward green card status, and then maybe ultimately citizenship.
Yes, but get them that status first. Have them come out of the shadows. Have them get screened by Homeland Security so we know who's here.
Have you done any kind of? Pardon me, I'm worried about our time here, John. But have you done any kind of research on how many of the folks of the 11 million? How many of those people would actually come out of the shadows?
Well, it's hard to research. When you're dealing with an undocumented population, it's hard to poll them and ask them questions. But we think that a great majority would rather have come out of the shadows and have a legal status than rather stay in the shadows
right.
and risk deportation.
How much of a penalty are you talking about?
Well, could be $1,000, could be $1,500, but you don't pay it right up front. It's something that could
right.
be paid off over a certain number of years, but you don't get your green card until you pay your fine.
Some restaurant owners, some employers, might be cheaper for them to pay that for them and keep the worker.
Bingo. That's absolutely right. We wouldn't have this where it's a requirement for the employer to pay the fine or pay processing fees, but you and your listeners know how hard it is to find
yep.
and keep good workers,
yep.
and so it may be a bargain for them to help their worker out.
Has there been a stickier wicket for public policy makers than this issue in your memory?
Not in my 20 years in Washington. This one's got tentacles in all sorts of different aspects of life. It's not just a business or an economic issue. It's a national security issue. It's a cultural issue. It's an ethnic issue, race issue, religion, health care, education. I mean, it's all of this wrapped up into one.
And the realities, the real things, not the emotional part, the real things are pulling from so many different directions. John, quickly, what do you think is going to happen? I got about 10 seconds.
Well, 10 seconds. Your members have got to talk to their senators and urge them to pass comprehensive immigration reform with reasonable enforcement and not to try to just fix the illegal immigration system on the backs of employers.
What's your website?
www.ewic.org.
All right. Thank you, John. See you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Bill Schley after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.